Happy Thursday, family. Can you believe it's Thursday already? AFL round kicks off tonight. Sydney taking on the Western Bulldogs at a very wet, wet SCG. I've got to be careful here. I'm tipping on somebody's backyard. That, of course, is the Rush Hour's number one weatherman, Andrew Juice Newton-Jarman. G'day, Juice. Welcome to Thursday.
G'day, Louis. G'day, Adelaide. Great to be here on a Thursday. Yeah, your boys. If they lose tonight, Lou, that's it. They're done. They're finished. Clean up the locker room and start next year. You're finished, Lou.
That was last week. It's all over. Don't worry. We are done. We don't play finals this year. That's right. We've missed once.
Say if you do get up tonight, you're still a chance or not?
Once in 20 years, mate. It's not too bad.
Anyway,
all right.
Should be a good game.
I can live
though.
With that. You've got some footy news right off the top before I tell you
who is on
the show today. A bit of a shock re-signing.
Well, it is. Young Josh Shackey, Lulu, from the Brisbane Lions, has re-signed for a further 2 years to stay as a Brisbane Lions player.
All intents and purposes, he was given a couple of weeks off from the club to go home about it. And that is a surprise.
I played against his father when he was playing for West Torrens. And so there you go, Lou. He's recommitted to the Lions. So that'll please Fakes.
Yeah, that is a big win for that football club.
Big signing for that club.
Retention has been a massive issue for Brisbane. So well done. How is this for a show today?
Yes, Lou.
Hamish Hartlett, 4:30, lock it in. Hamish's going to talk to us. And we'll ask him about getting off Facebook and social media and things like Twitter. Everything obviously been right in the news. Players not coping well with all the attention that comes with social media these days. A man who loves any kind of media he can get, Brian Taylor, BT, and can give you the heads up. Mrs. BT's in the car today. Yep, they've been out doing stuff together. Maybe a hot date, don't really know. But will be a beauty. First time ever on the show, Mrs. BT.
Can try and get her on, nice.
Dylan Robinson is going to join us from the St Kilda Football Club. He's a young man having a great season ahead of their clash with the Crows tomorrow night.
All Australian form at the minute?
Absolutely. And dare I say, you are very lucky this game's not at Etihad.
Why is that?
Because it'd be a super danger game. They play so well at Etihad, and the form you're in might be
I'm just going to put a lid on it tonight.
Put a little L on it if you're not careful.
Yeah, sure.
All right. And, of course, the voice of football coming up next, Simon Hill, to talk Socceroos v. Saudi Arabia. Hit us with the accent.
Oh, I'm a bit nervous about tonight, Louis. I just don't know if we're going to just – we've got to get the job done, hit the back of the net, lad.
Isn't it crazy? I mean – right there, I
can't do Saudi Arabia.
I was looking for a Saudi Arabian accent.
But I can't. I'm not Omar Shadi.
You were doing it before, though.
Hello,
my darlings.
Sharif,
yeah, he's one of them. Hello, my darlings. Please come down tonight.
Yeah, that's not bad. That's better. Yeah, I mean, and the other one?
Who was the other one? That was
You were obviously talking as if you were...
I was Dylan McGowan.
Were you? I thought you were the boss of Man U.
Alex.
I thought you were fuck. I said, Durbin. We've got a big show. I wanted to play grab there. God, what are we doing?
Oh, Sean.
Really good sledge. I'll get to it later, Murph.
Do you want it now?
Can I have it now?
Do it later. Okay.
Scotty Selwood on the footy show last night. I'm only hearing this because I don't watch it.
You watched it.
I didn't. Yeah, there has been the referral to Dangerwood, and I always remind the guys that it's me in danger, not Joel and David. But Joel quickly reminds me that it's definitely not the case.
Four of you. Selwoods have played football.
Yep.
Where would you rate yourself 1 to 4?
I'm second.
He's a ripping lad, Scotty.
And he went on to add, he played on Dale Thomas back in the day, I think 2010 when the Pies won the flag. Yeah. And Tomo just kicked the goal and was carving him up a little bit.
Nice.
And he said to him, there's four brothers, someone had to be the worst brother, didn't they? And then he fired back last night, suggesting someone asked about that one, and he said, about Dale Thomas. He goes, a Northern Bull Ants playing this weekend.
Oh,
of course, Daisy's struggling to hold his spot in the team at Carlton at the moment.
There you go, Sean.
It's a nice little sweat. Yeah. That's better, Murph.
That's better.
The voice of football, Simon Hill, to talk Saudi Arabia versus the Socceroos next. Don't go anywhere.
And the Rush Hour, which is Louis, Triple M.
Righto, Jars, big show in town tonight. Soccer is taking on Saudi Arabia, and if you're not getting along, you can catch all the action ad break free and live 6:30 on Fox Sports Channel 506. And the voice of football in this country joins us right now. We're very, very excited. Mm. The one and only Simon Hill. Simon, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Nice to be with you guys. How are you?
Well, it doesn't get any bigger than this, Simon, for the Socceroos.
No.
Quite easily our biggest game for 3 or 4 years almost.
Well, if you look in the local paper today, you'll see Tony Vidmar quoted as saying he reckons it's the biggest one since Uruguay 2005.
And, wow.
Difficult to disagree, really, because there's a lot on the line tonight. If Australia were to lose, and obviously we hope it doesn't come to that, but if they were to lose, then essentially hopes of automatic qualification for Russia next year are gone. So they've got to win.
That is the doomsday scenario, isn't it? Because Japan and Saudi Arabia on 16 points apiece. We're on 13 in Group B. And Geez, if we do go out the back door, we are in all sorts because we missed on that auto qualification. They've only beaten us once, though, Simon, in seven games, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And Australia don't often lose World Cup qualifiers at home. The last one was against China back in 2008, and even then there was a good reason for it. Pemba Bake, who was the coach at the time, selected a very understrength team because they'd already qualified for the next phase. And prior to that, you have to go all the way back to 1981 to find the last time Australia lost a home World Cup qualifier. So the omens are good. Obviously, they've got a decent pitch from what I've seen as well. Yep. 40,000 people going to be there tonight cheering them on. So, you know, everything's in Australia's favour. But there's just this little question mark at the back of all of our heads because we've said this on so many occasions throughout this campaign. Oh, they'll be all right. You know, they'll win this one.
Yep.
They'll be fine. And on too many occasions, they've tripped up. They've drawn too many games. So there's just a little question mark there. And, of course, from Saudi Arabia's point of view, a big carrot for them tonight. If they were to win, they're essentially in Russia, and they haven't qualified for a World Cup in over a decade. So this is a big night for them as well.
Simon, Saudi Arabia's multi-million dollar budget compared to ours. Now, who's the danger players for Saudi Arabia tonight?
Well, there's a couple, depending on who starts. Obviously, the main man that most people will know in Australia is a guy called Nasser Al-Shamrani. Now, he's scored against Australia on two or three occasions in the past. He's known as the Earthquake.
Yes, what a nickname.
That's not just because of his goal-scoring abilities. Yeah. That's because of his volatile temperament as well. He's a little bit of a spicy character. You might remember in the 2014 Asian Champions League final, his club side, Al Hilal, played against Western Sydney Wanderers, and he was involved in a big row with Matt Sporanovic at the end of the game. He actually spat at him and got an 8-game ban.
That's right.
For that.
Yep.
He's a bit of a fiery character, but he's a good player. Mm. So he's certainly one player to look out for. Another one is a guy called Salem Al-Dosari, who I'm not even sure is going to start tonight. But if he does, if you go on YouTube, you can look at a goal he scored against the Aussies in Melbourne in February 2012. An absolute belter of a goal. So, you know, they've got some danger players, and we've got to be careful.
Simon, who's going to score our goals? Timmy Cahill has been wonderful for our country, but he's 37 now and probably starts on the bench tonight, but he's still our premier goal scorer over this campaign. And then you've got probably Mile Jednak, and he's only really scoring from the penalty spot. So do we need a talisman? Who we got that's going to be able to drag us through and get us deep?
Well, here's the good news. We've talked about some of the doomsday scenarios already, but the good news is that a lot of the attacking players for Australia are in really good moments in their career at the moment. Let's list them for you. Tommy Rogic, who just scored the Scottish Cup final winner for Celtic in stoppage time. He's in red-hot form at the moment. Aaron Moy, a winner at Wembley with Huddersfield Town. He can certainly score goals. Jackson Irvine, double figures with Burton Albion in the English Championship and got off the mark for Australia in the last game against the UAE. And Matthew Leckie, who's just signed for Hertha Berlin, a really big club in Germany, after leaving Ingolstadt. And he's scored in his last two games for the Socceroos.
Nice.
So there are goals in that team. It's just that they've got to start delivering. And Leckie started doing that. Now it's up to the likes of Moy and Rogic. And the one we haven't talked about is Tommy Juric, who's got seven in his last eight in Switzerland for Luzern. So, you know, maybe he's the man tonight.
Excellent. The McGowan boys, will we see them suit up, do you think, another set of brothers?
Look, you know, obviously the local crowd would love to see Ryan and Dylan because they're local boys, and you always like to cheer one of your own. But, you know, whoever is selected, I'm sure they won't let Australia down. Of course, there's a few Adelaide links despite the apart from the local boys. Matt Leckie, of course, played for Adelaide United back in the day.
Yep.
So did Tommy Juric a long time ago. So,
nice.
You know, there's a few links there.
The boss went to extraordinary lengths last night, training-wise. Simon, everybody, including cleaners and God knows everyone, had to get out of the stadium so they could practice.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much de rigueur for all coaches around the world. It's what you get in the day before the game. You have the official press conference, and then the training session is the doors are slammed shut after 15 minutes. So essentially, all you get to see is them stretch and do a bit of a warming up run around the pitch. All the tactical work goes on behind closed doors, and obviously he'll probably be, you know, training with his first 11. So that's why they chuck all those press types and the cleaners out.
Get them out.
Make sure that they blank the screens and everything else.
Mate, we cannot wait.
Good calling tonight.
Love. Thanks for taking the time out, mate. Really appreciate it. 6:30, ad break free, live, channel 506 on Fox Sports, the one and only Simon Hill. Thanks, Simon.
Pleasure, guys. Go the Roos.
There you go, the Roos. It's a Rush Hour with Jars and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Hamish Hartland, who'll be in the lift, coming upstairs, I reckon, in the next few minutes, joining us in about 10. Hammer time on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis.
I was born with a stiff.
Stiff or soft?
Great little segment, this one. There are only two words that generally need to be used in relation to something that has happened. You're either a bit stiff or you're a bit soft.
Soft.
Do you say? Yeah, and I'm going to kick it off today.
Soft on the belly.
Number one, Kurt Tippett was dropped by the Sydney Swans. Stiff or soft?
Nah, he's soft.
Soft.
Yeah.
And can I just take a moment to acknowledge in the spirit of the great Bill Laurie, yes, got him. Gone. Well played, Jackal.
And that's a bit harsh, you know, because you're the Jackal, yeah. I did say
the Jackal who's been off the grid for a long time. And I say the Jackal.
Yeah.
I say the Jackal has been off the grid and awfully quiet for a long time. But well played. He's in the long game, the Jackal. He's Warren Buffett with stocks. He's playing the long game, the Jackal. Well set
off
there.
Off the grid. Yep. And he's Geelong, Tommy Hawkins, stiff or soft, 1 week banned.
For me, stiff as.
I was born with a stiff.
What do you mean he's stiff as?
Hang a towel on it.
He's only got 2 weeks.
Hang a towel on it. That's how stiff. Honestly. Fit. You know my thoughts on that. You can't have Cochin getting off and then just because they go, well, we're not very happy with the look of the game, let's change it within the space of 3 weeks. Tanasi Kokkinakis. Who is now embroiled in a battle for branding. Mm. Special K wants to call himself. Of course, Kellogg's own Special K have done so for 50-odd years. And they're saying, hang on a minute, son. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can do that when you want to create yourself a Twitter handle, a clothing and tennis line on that one. Stiff or soft, Tanasi?
And he's my boy.
Yeah.
I've been with him from day one. And we've had some injury concerns the last year and a half.
Nice 2 years, yeah.
All right. Your boy who just keeps smashing rackets and abusing people and will never, ever win a major.
Getting results. Stiff or soft?
I think he's stiff.
I was born with a stiff.
I don't know.
He's got every right to promote himself.
Mate, trademark.
And look at his surname. How many K's are in his surname?
Well, then why don't you go with 4K?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Well, why don't you be his marketing manager?
Why don't you go with KKK-K?
Yeah, that's a bit more
clear. I know, that's edgy.
It's very edgy. That's
too edgy. I mean, you can't go KKK because obviously taken in, it would require bed sheets. Yeah, maybe bring out a line of sheets. Nah. Special case. Nah. 4K.
Oh, you stiff the ball.
Instead of having
1,000 thread. Yeah.
4K. 4,000 thread.
Go and ring his manager and put a proposal on the table. Why don't you be his manager?
I know, I'm an ideas man.
Just quickly,
last bloke who tried to bring out his own tennis line off the back of his own successful career.
Who was it?
Leighton Hewitt, the Camons. The little Camon t-shirt.
He did too. He got shut down.
Didn't wear it well. And last bloke that tried to do a little website to buy and sell things on, maybe was Australia's number one tennis player for a long, long time as well.
Oh, no.
Leighton Hewitt, who's on Dead Set Legends on Saturday morning with KG and Tyson Edwards. Maybe that didn't work out either.
How do you know that?
I'm across all this stuff, mate. I'm a wealth of information. Tanasi Kokkinakis with the 4Ks. I reckon you need to. If you're going to start your own clothing line, and don't get me started here, I would think you're going to need to be elite. Roger doesn't even have one.
Roger Roo.
Federer?
I rest my case.
Can I continue?
The Fed Express doesn't have one. The Joker doesn't have one.
Nah.
Borg did. That was about it. Yeah. It's, you know how hard it is. And you're playing with the giants. Adidas, Nike, all that sort
Elle
of stuff.
Elle McPherson does.
Yeah, but that's intimate.
Okay.
There's another idea.
I was born with a stiff.
We should design a range of men's underwear called...
I'm still getting over my book.
The Black
Rhinos. The size of my book.
Black Rhinos.
I'm a Lululemon man.
And they give in all the right areas.
How long have I got left, Sean?
Keep going.
Not much.
Stiff or soft?
Yep.
Essendon Football Club's Brendan Goddard physically abusing a packet of pretzels at halftime. Is he stiff or soft?
I tell you, stiff. And that's the pretzels.
Yeah.
I was born with a stiff.
Wrong place, wrong time for those pretzies, I can tell you right now.
And what about the poor old volunteers in the change rooms?
Yeah. I mean, he's
your boy.
My thoughts on BJ. I mean, that's just soft behaviour. It's really, really...
One more.
The Cavaliers. LeBron and go. Check this out. Greatest choke of all time. Greg Norman sitting back going, how good's this? I've lost my title.
Talk to me.
Game 3 today.
Yeah.
There is 3 minutes left to play. The Cavs lead Golden State 113-107. For the remaining 2 minutes and 45 seconds, the Cavs went 0-8. They did not score. Conversely, Golden State went on an 11-zip run.
Rampage.
To the death and got the job done. 3-zip. What is going on there?
They're soft.
It's a schmozzle.
Soft.
Soft as out there. But I got one last one, Murph, to finish it off. I know we're time poor.
Come on.
It's very important we get this one away. Two-part, two-person, two-man, two-girl problem. Stiff or soft, Dr. Jeffrey Verrill and Maid Marian Jarman, who, since the diagnosis of Jars coming down with the flu again, have been responsible for administering Jars' horse tablets rectally.
I was born with a stiff.
Soft.
Go to a song.
Dylan Robertson from the Saints coming up in about an hour from now. BT at 10 past five. Brian Tanner on the Rush Hour with Jars and Louis at Triple M.
Campbell off the Hartman and let's fly from 50 and kicks the goal.
It's hammer time on Triple M's Rush Hour.
Boom. That's the hammer coming down.
Hammer time.
Please welcome Hamish Hartlett.
Yeah, Hammer in studio. Good to see you, pal.
Thanks, Louis. Thanks, Jars.
G'day, Chief.
Good to be here, boys.
Things just rattling along nicely out at Port Town at the moment. Must have been wrapped that first half. I know it seems like a long time ago, but Port Adelaide at its best, and everybody can say Hawthorn a shot and no good, but you've still got to be able to do it, and just the sheer dominance from a team perspective. And I thought, from an individual point of view, mate, that first ball that you won on the outer side where you just sort of backed yourself in and went to the footy really set the tone for the night.
Yeah, look, obviously we felt pretty well in control in that first half, and I think you know, that was a credit to the boys all over the park. The forwards played their role up forward. They put an enormous amount of pressure on the Hawthorn defence, and as did the mids, and then made our job a lot easier from there. And yeah, look, it was nice to get an early touch and to use the ball well and get the hands on the agate a little bit more last weekend. That was really pleasing.
We spoke to you after the game, and hopefully you can sort of recount again that you and Kenny had a little bit of a chat about sort of being a bit more aggressive and really trying to be a little bit more attacking from your halfback.
Yeah, that's right. So Kenny and I had a quick chat just over a week ago, and that was a result of it, I guess, was to find yourself in more aggressive attacking positions, get involved in the play a bit more, and that's what I tried to do. And I think when you're trying to adapt to a new position, your instinct is to go, in my case, it's full on defense, and that's probably the wrong way to go about it. I was probably a bit too defensive, and so it's a small shift in mindset to get a bit more attacking, and the results paid off. But it's only 1 week, so it'd be nice to repeat that again.
Especially when you, because the other night was a real big disparaging difference, but field position, and you're not always going to get great field position, but when you do, I think that is the time. Is that what Kenny's talking about? Really load yourself up, get in some spots where you can get used with, especially with your leg.
Yeah, look, there's obviously times when you can go and try and get involved, and other times where you do have to set up in a slightly more defensive position. So it's about learning when those times are arising and adapting your game around them. So seemed to work pretty well last weekend, and look forward to the challenge again this weekend.
2 years ago, it was the fastest attacking side in the competition. Scary. If you want to take them on it, good luck. Now, the mindset is defence. And you're becoming now one of the most brutal defensive sides in the competition. Hard to score against. Everyone's playing their role. So it's a bit of a change, isn't it, in terms of how you're playing footy. Defend first, then attack.
Yeah, I think, you know, ever since Kenny's come to the footy club, his number one mantra has always been defence, and we were a pretty solid defensive team for the first couple of years that he was here, and then we probably went away a little bit from that over the last couple of years, but certainly we've found our form in that part of the game again. We want to be known still as a team that will take the game on and play exciting footy for everyone to watch. We know that there's times that we need to do that, and there's other times where we need to control the game, but yeah, we've stood up really well defensively, and that, again, like I said earlier, it's a credit to the full 18 that are out in the park.
Yeah, turning the ball over in some really good spots. Really intrigued with your comments on Melbourne Ruddy. I think, I can't remember what week it was, probably early this week, maybe the suggestion that Twitter is not for you, and we've seen a lot of it, of course, off the back of Alex Fasolo and Matt Jones, a former Melbourne player, coming out and saying it, just how detrimental looking and searching or just reading and following social media can be if you're a player who's not in the greatest of form.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I guess from my point of view, you like to think that none of that sort of stuff really affects you. And, whatever, anyone can say what they want, like who cares? It's, their opinions. invalid. But you're right, Louis. When you're struggling for form and you're continuously sort of reading these comments and people saying you're no good and you're a spud and you're overpaid and you're this and you're that, I reckon subconsciously it probably does wear you down over time. Yeah. So I just thought, look, and it wasn't even as a result of people really getting stuck into me. It was actually on the back of the incident that happened in the preseason with Jarman.
Yep.
Yeah, so, yep. And I was just reading a few of the things that people were saying about Jarzy, just calling him all sorts of things, you know, unprofessional, not a you know, loyal teammate, all this sort of stuff, which couldn't be any further from the truth, and I was just getting absolutely fed up with it. So that was why I got rid of it. Yeah, there's far too much negative stuff that's put out there in cyberspace, so it's best to just avoid it.
We were going to test the theory this week, going to send you a little mean tweet just to see whether you read it.
Nah, I might come back as an alias. You know, like Twitter's good for finding, you know, things out.
Information.
Do the boys live on it there? Do the boys consume it? Because it is the medium these days for this generation. That's where you get all your stuff, so it's hard not to flick onto it, isn't it?
Probably more so Instagram. Is the big one these days. Twitter, like I said, I'm not sure that many guys are too active on Twitter. There's lots of guys with accounts, but simply to follow news and get up to date with things that are happening, but that's about it.
Charlie's World. Getting a bit of a run, getting some very big traction. We have Jar's World. I can only imagine what Charlie's World would be like.
How did you boys come across Charlie's World?
Well, Jacko gave it out on breakfast the other morning, and apparently what Charlie wants, Charlie gets. And Charlie's a different cat.
Yeah, he's not fazed by too much, Big Charlie. Yeah. He just sort of goes about his business and does what he wants. He's sort of... Yeah, he'll buy a car here or there and sort of do it up, and then I don't mind the look of that car, I might buy that one, and then he'll just go and demolish his backyard for whatever reason or another, and not much fazes him too
in there
much.
And then he gets pulled to the pool, he fill it in, and just put a pergola up.
And he just sort of strolls around, and we give him a bit of stick for it, but obviously having him around the club, and he's playing some pretty handy footy. Absolutely. So it's
and
all good.
Just on behalf of the club, obviously got a new sponsor with denim jackets with the lamb's wool linings. Jacko had it on last week. You've got it on this week.
I wasn't aware that the big fella had it on, but I'm donning it loud and proud today. And I'll tell you what, it's about the only bloody thing keeping me warm at the moment. It's too cold outside.
Good luck this weekend, mate. Yeah. All the best.
Going to be a big game, Essendon. They'd be wishing they had Paddy Ryder.
Yeah, I reckon they might. But big test for us. Looking forward to getting over to Melbourne and giving them a run for their
well
money.
Done.
Yeah, really good month coming up.
Cheers, buddy.
Big chance to set yourselves up. Thanks, Hamish Hartlett. Righto, Jars and family. Forbes have released their annual rich list, this time for the top 10 highest paid athletes in the world. And jeez, Jars, it's more than one truck. You're backing up a fleet.
Show me the money!
You are backing up a fleet. Start dancing for me. Cuba Gooden Jr. style over there.
Good timing, too.
Yeah, keep bouncing. I like this.
Show me the money.
I'm not going to go anywhere in particular. I'll narrow it down to the top five, but I'll just give you one. Coming in at 10, poor old Lewis Hamilton, just $46 million a year driving the Mercedes. That's all he gets.
Stop it.
That is all he is making. A couple of basketballers at 9 and 8. That'd be the beard, James Harden.
Yeah.
Harden and Steph Curry, who are on 46 and $47.3 million.
Well, they had a good win today.
Rory McIlroy tops the golfers.
The golfer,
is at 7 on 50 mil. Just a neat sweet.
Just to play a game he loves.
50. Just to be walking the fairways with the serenity. Just be able to tell on that ball to go home to its home. Get in the hole.
Go the hole.
All right.
What else you got?
Probably ready for another Show Me the Money, Murph.
Come on, Murph.
I like to bounce while we're doing this. Number 6, Andrew Luck, quarterback, 50 mil. Just for passing. Passing the pigskin. Yeah. Now gets down to business.
Yeah, let's get in the nitty gritty.
Top 5, all right, of blokes who are making some coin, playing a bit of sport.
Go.
Kevin Durant. 60.6 mil. About to go up too.
And they'll go up once
if
they
Golden
win this.
If Golden State win the championship and he gets his first ring. Yeah. At number 4, the great one himself, Roger Federer, 62 mil.
Yeah. Mr. Consistency there.
60. Just keeps making it. How do you spend it?
He'll never spend it in his lifetime.
What do you reckon the highest paid radio shows are in Adelaide are on?
We'll ask our Brekkie boys.
Yeah. Well, they're number one.
Yeah.
Ruined it.
Yeah, they got all their
dough. Show me the money.
All right.
It's Rupert walking in.
Who, number 3?
They're out of contract end of the year.
Which one's Ditch in that character?
I'd have to say.
You had me when you said what?
Yeah, Renee. You had me at hello.
Ditch is Renee.
When Ru said to him, do you want to come and do breakfast with me? You had me at come do breakfast.
Oh, boys. Love you,
Number 3.
Go.
Lionel Messi, who's in town in Melbourne at the moment. $80 million.
No,
$80 million.
He'll never spend it. Has he paid his tax?
Yeah, he's got out of. That's why he's on the rich list.
That's why he's over here.
Coming in at number two, he can't win a game in the playoffs at the moment. LeBron James.
Here we go.
$86.2 million. Jeez. And then number one, drum roll, please. He is CR7, Cristiano Ronaldo, $93 million.
Well done.
That's not your fortune. That's this year.
That's just this year.
93.
Stop it.
Any wonder he gets his kid out?
Nah.
He gets his kid off and the rig out, and he just scores for a living. That meant 93.
Well, what's that a week? What's that a week, Jez? Shawnee? Producers?
Well, put it this way, all right? So it's 52 weeks a year, Jazz. Yeah. He's on 93. If you were to double it, all right, he'd have to be on 104. So he's just at about 1.8 million a week. Oh, yeah, 1.786432 to be exact. 1.6. Just working
out,
Rain
Man.
Mate.
We're in the wrong gig here. We're in the wrong gig.
That is.
A week.
That is amazing.
A week. He can't spend that in a week.
No one could.
Hey.
1.78, near enough to 1.8 a week.
And we give away a piddly $1,000 just after 5 o'clock thanks to our very good friends.
Imagine if we were doing, imagine coming up to Automasters.
Yeah. 1.7 mil.
It was the $1 million. And this is all make-believe, fam. So don't hold us. Imagine if the quiz with no name thanks to Automasters, your chance to win $1 million. 10 questions, 60 seconds.
1-3-3-5-3 and you get an Automasters in there.
And throw in a lifeline worth $100,000.
I'm going to talk to the boss.
$100,000 lifeline right there if you can get the job done. It's good a rush stuff. Out. Jars and Lily. Hey, the quiz coming up real soon on 104.7 Triple M. Big second hour to come here on the Rush Hour. Going to check in with the Saints. Dylan Robinson is having a cracking season.
Isn't he?
St Kilda coming up just before we get out of here tonight. BT, of course, on a Thursday, not far away, Bristol. And it's our understanding that Mrs. Bristle, the one and only Tanya, the better half.
Yeah, she's the
engine making
room.
Her debut.
Yeah, all
on the Rush
Hour
today.
Something up, have you?
Yeah, well, I know they're driving back from Lawn together. They've been away together.
Oh,
so
no.
No, not like that, but they've been doing stuff today. And I think Mrs. Bristle is in the car. And you've got a word for our state government. Build it and they will come.
Yes, Lou.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it a lot. But now it's time to try and give away some cash.
The Rush Hour's quiz with no name. Thanks to Automasters.
Are you ready for a braking emergency on the way home? Call 1-300-AUTOMASTERS and get a brake inspection.
Yeah, there's a new tactic when it comes to the quiz. Who's playing today, Juice?
We're going to go to South Plympton and say hello to Chad. Now, he's a St Kilda man.
Mad from... let's welcome in.
G'day, Chad.
G'day, legends. How are you?
Good. Chaddy, you've been up to your normal pre-game routine, and that is catching the Saints go through their paces before tomorrow night's big clash against the Crows.
Oh, dear.
Certainly, and they're looking strong, looking good.
Nice. Took your young lad along to have a bit of a look?
Yep. Every year, take him down and get the photos and signatures done. So.
All right.
Very nice.
Well, good luck tomorrow night, mate.
Let's hope you win something today, because tomorrow night you won't be my friend. I'm sorry. I'm pretty confident the Crows will strike back.
Ooh,
60 seconds, Chad. 10 questions. 9, really, with Automasters Lifeline. Are you good with the Automasters Lifeline?
Yep, let's rock and roll.
All right, I'll hand you over to the Juice. All the very best of luck.
Okay, Chad. Question number one. Which AFL team has had the best winning streak so far this year?
Crows.
Which ex-Crows player has been dropped from the Swans side this weekend tonight?
Kurt Tippett.
Okay, name the coach of the Socceroos.
Ange Postecoglou.
What is Tom Liberatore's dad's first name?
Oh, pass.
Which Hawthorn legend had the nickname Bunghole? Which Hawthorn legend had the nickname Bunghole?
Jason Dunstall.
Who won game 3 of the NBA finals today?
Cavaliers.
Okay, who are Port Adelaide playing this weekend?
Port Adelaide playing Essendon.
Which side is higher on the ladder, Hawks or Gold Coast?
Gold Coast.
Okay, true or false, Australia can't make the finals of the Cricket Championship Trophy. True or false?
False.
Which Crows Guernsey did Vanilla Ice wear on stage the other night?
Automasters.
All right.
Oh, Lou.
Time got away from us.
Stop it.
Hold on. Okay. All right. Cherry boy.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Correct.
No, Chatty, $80. Well played.
And it was Tony Liberatore.
Yeah, Tony. That was the one that got you.
But he didn't. Did he say pass on that, though?
Yeah, he did. So he's come back. So yeah, $80, okay. All right. So question four, he knows, he's answered. Tom's dad's name's Tony.
I've got $90.
Yeah, because you're a dumbass. Because who won game three of the NBA finals? He said the Cavaliers.
He said Golden State.
He said Cavaliers.
Jeez, I'm a dumbass.
Yeah. Cleveland Cavaliers. You know why you got it?
Sorry, Chad.
You know why you're a fool, Jazz? Because you said it so confidently.
Yeah, Chad, you know what? Yeah, I just ticked it straight away.
$80, Chad. Well done.
Well played, mate.
Beautiful. Thanks, boys. Much appreciated.
Have a great night. Good luck tomorrow night for the Saints.
Jeez, Luke.
You okay over there?
Oh, and I'm up and about today, too.
You were too. Anyway. Make sure you continue because BT Brian Taylor joins us next on the Rush Hour. Nice. Jazz and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
Bloody
hell! Did you see that? Oh, boy. Wowee. Oh, the great man joins us. We love him dearly. BT, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Oh, congratulations, boys. You're just doing it time and time again when it comes to ratings. You guys are the Adelaide ratings kings.
It's very nice here, Bruce, to bring it up. We're a very humble show, though, Bristol, so we'll just glance off that one. It's all about you, this segment, Bruce.
All right, come on, get on with it.
Well, I need to know, where do we find you today? You're out, because I understand you're in your car, but where are you?
I've been down to Lawn today to just have a look at an investment situation. I've been down there, and I'm just driving back along the Great Ocean Road, looking at the ocean as I speak. It looks absolutely magnificent.
Oh, how's the serenity?
Is Mrs. Bristol with you?
She's listening to this.
Oh, this is good.
Oh, I love Mrs. Bristol.
Tanya, you're not allowed to talk either.
I'll tell you what. Tanya, we'll get to you in a moment. We'll get to Bruce and make him earn his cash first. Hey, Bruce, we've had 11 games so far. Everybody talking GWS, then now on top of the ladder. Adelaide, everyone's gone cold. Who have you got in your possibles that can get the job done this season right now?
I've got GWS there as a certainty to finish top four, so that gives them a really good chance. Then I fill it in with Adelaide, Geelong, and big question mark on the fourth position. But I think those three are looking like the goods. Look, I still think Adelaide are really good. I think, you know, they had a couple of down games. You know, Geelong at Geelong, that's a hard game for any team to win in any position. Those three are definitely my three at the moment.
Nice.
Bristol, Sydney Swans take on Western Bulldogs tonight in Sydney. It's going to be obviously a lot of rain. Kirk Tippett's been omitted. I think he's probably one of the most overrated players we've seen in the last 5 years in football.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think, and on top of that, I just get the feeling with Kirk Tippett that you guys would have had them in the clubs where you played. There's one guy or maybe two guys in every club that only play if they're 100% fit.
Yeah, true.
And you know how that's, you know, like most players never play at 100. So I just get the feeling he could be a personality like that because the slightest injury seemed to put him out all the time.
Yeah, pretty fair call. No argument here. Luke Beveridge continuing the pain on Tom Liberatore, still in the VFL. Bruce, were you ever taught a lesson by a coach anywhere along the journey?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, no. Tom Afey?
Tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth with Tanya in the car.
I reckon it's good. Yep. He has no fear of dropping anyone. You know, if he's going to make Tom Liberatore sit in the seconds for a month, then that's the way it's going to be. You know, Travis Cloak, and, you know, he's dropped them all. They've all had various spells. I get the feeling he's the master at keeping people on edge.
Yep.
And if he feels the slightest softening in your attitude, bang, you're gone. Just not because he wants you to play the rest of the year in the seconds, but because he wants to maximise your intensity when you're at the top level.
I think he's up to about 9 premiership players. 8 or 9 premiership players have found themselves out of the side far this season.
And he's searching for he needs to find he needs to find five guys that weren't in last year's premiership side that are going to be in this year's premiership side, doesn't he?
Correct. Win. Bristol, Joel Selwood last Friday night showed us why he's one of the toughest footballers we've seen in a long period of time. You played with and against some of the most fearsome footballers in our great game. Who would you rate as the toughest player you've ever seen, played with or against?
Oh, look, he's pretty well there. Francis Burke was unreal. You know, I caught him at the tail end of his career. He went through the 70s and 80s. I think he might have even started in the 60s, 60s, 70s and 80s. Mm. He was incredibly tough. I think one day he played with a broken leg. I remember at Arden Street, one particular game, he got split from the top of his head down to the shin, went in, got some acuracome on it, and came out and played the second half and tried to pull forward. It was the most remarkable day, and that's not putting any polish on it. That actually happened. So he was pretty brave and courageous, but you know, Joel Selwood's unreal. But I am sick of people. You know, I'm sick of it. Like, you know, okay, let's move on, sort of thing. You know, like how many times have we got to say that he's brave and courageous?
A lot of talk about injections this week, Bristol, too, with players, and we've heard some great stories right through the gamut from Derm or Teddy Richards, 12 before the premiership, I think, in 2012.
Buddha Hocking
stories. You had a bung knee there at points. Have you lived to pay the price, mate, down the track?
No injections in the knees. Look, I've had a knee replacement from general ACLs and stuff, but I never had injections in the knees. I've had injections in another part. I had broken ribs 1 week. You know, managed to get up and play. None of the current players seem to be able to get up and play with both legs.
I was wondering when we're going to get to that. I mean, unless a man would have missed three or four.
Well, I played, I played with a bit of an injection, a bit of a jab and a nice jumper.
Is Mrs. Bristol nodding her head here as this goes down?
I think she saw that game, actually. So I think she'd be going, geez, you're brave. I never feel like that brave. So that's all good, She said she could tell you a story right now, but I don't think she should.
I tell you what, can you put Tanya on for us, please?
I'd love
to. She's listening. Go on, speak loudly, clearly.
Tanya, tell us all about us. What's the story?
Well, the great farmer himself was on his motorbike once and hit a rock trying to chase cows and came back with some broken ribs. Well, I've never heard someone sook in all my life. He couldn't get out of bed. He couldn't move. He's pathetic.
I'll tell you what, that great farmer, he went out the next day and ran up the cows.
I guarantee you he didn't go nowhere near those cows.
Oh, they reckon you rode the off-roader on the bitumen after that, Bruce.
Hey, listen, on that thing, I remember at Richmond when I was playing there, I remember a lot of the players, there was the likes of Jimmy Jess and Emmett Dunn and all those old-time greats at Richmond. They used to queue up for the head trainer there that used to give them this pink tablet. And, you know, they thought it was real eye-opening stuff, and they'd go in and get this, you know, special bottle that contained the pink tablet. Come on, Keithy, give me a pink tablet. I need to bloody roar up here and flare up at the nostrils. And they'd all flare up at the nostrils and out they'd go. They'd play above themselves. The guy that used to give them out, our head trainer, said he really didn't know what they were. He just knew they were coloured. And he thought they just contained sugar. And these guys thought they contained some sort of bloody nostril-flaring drug.
Oh, that's good.
It was quite funny. But anyway.
Well, Bruce, you will remember in my country team before I went to Sydney, Ronnie Hunter, who had thumbs bent back like hooks because of all the massaging. If they gave you something, it was like gospel, though, because they had all the tricks of the trade.
Absolutely. They kept it to themselves what it was, and I'm sure it had something in it. But, amazing old fellas they were.
Hey, Bristol, great to see the Match Review panel wake up. Tommy Hawkins copped that week for that disgraceful jumper punch on poor old Matty Crouch. Should have got 2 weeks.
Well, he copped two down to one for the guilty plea. So is that worth 2 weeks?
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just crap, Bristol. Out now, crap.
It's a one-weeker at interpreting the law as harsh as they want. At the most, other than that, it's a fine. But, okay, if they want to throw the jumper punch out, I can understand them saying 1 week. But 2 weeks for that.
No.
2 weeks for that, he got. got. He didn't get 1 week. He got two.
He went down too, poor old Matty.
It is absolutely disgraceful. It's compromised the Brownlow, but that's a chat for another day, Briss. Car park race, let's get back to it. Where are we at, mate? Are you having any sessions, counselling? Are you working with any techniques? Has Mrs. Bristle been able to talk you through some relaxation moments so you don't rustle and drive up over the edge of curbs and push and shunt your way through traffic?
Hold traffic up for about 20 minutes.
Well, look, this is Geelong last week, getting out of a car park, had a bit of a... Tandem was on the phone when I was trying to get out. It was very embarrassing. But we have done some manoeuvring today on our way to and from Lawn.
Yep. I guarantee, Briss, you don't sit in the left lane too often.
A queue of more than two cars is just a reason for me to go around them. I've got very little patience when it comes to queues of more than two or three cars.
Yep.
I just went through Bacchus Marsh a short time ago, and it's sort of a roundabout thing there, but I did go pretty straight.
Before we get to the life tip, and I might hand it over to Mrs. Bristle for that one today.
Yeah, it'd be a good one.
Now, Mrs. Bristle, normally we ask Brian what's on his radar, both footy-wise and world-wise, and also then we get a Brian's life tip. I've got a little opener I'd like to play.
Life of Brian.
They call Brian. He's not the Messiah. He's a very naughty boy.
Your lovely husband has been kind enough to give us the tales of your son that is overseas at the moment, Tanya. So is there an update on that or something else you'd like to share with us when it comes to life with Brian?
He's on a boat out of Dubrovnik now, isn't he?
He's on what we call a party boat right now. Oh, no. So every evening I get a photo of him with a new friend.
Forget about all that stuff,
love. And also, I got a message this morning saying, I think I need some socks and T-shirts. But not to read too much into that.
What would be the tip that you would give him on the boat, full of women and full of guys? Yeah. His age,
the party boat. Yeah.
What would you say he should or should not do? Fraternize?
Maybe wear a life jacket at all times.
Maybe some sort of jacket at all times. I would say.
Bring some protection. Bring some protection.
That's the jacket.
It's a good reason why Mrs. Bruce hasn't been on radio. You just heard it. hasn't got a lot to say.
I love Mrs. Bruce.
Thank you so much for sharing your lovely wife with us today, Bruce. That is very kind of
good
you.
Good on you, mate.
Have a great week. Good calling across the weekend. Drive safe. Have patience, my friend.
See you, mate.
See you, Mrs. Bristle. It's a rush hour. Jars and Louie on 104.7 Triple M. Socceroos are in action tonight, not far away now from kickoff. Juice. If you're not getting along, 6:30, Fox Sports, 5:06. Check it out. Simon Hill and the boys will take care of you there. Adelaide Oval is the venue.
Yeah.
And you've got a small little beef with this venue.
I don't want to see soccer played on an AFL and a cricket pitch venue when it should be played at either Hindmarsh Stadium or our government and the federal government build us a proper boutique 30,000 soccer stadium for our fans.
Well, I think, in fairness to you too, I think Hindmarsh has been grown out of.
But it's only 16,000. Yeah, bulldoze it down and build a new one.
If you'd ask the Reds, you go, hang on a minute, we probably need something a little bigger. Correct. If we're going to grow bigger.
It's not good viewing at Adelaide Oval. No. And look, and I'm proud of the Socceroos, Lou, but so many people are so negative in terms of going to watch the Socceroos. We've got our own Australian side playing at one of the best venues in the world, but it's not suited for soccer.
It's like anything. You've got to be as close to the action as humanly possible. You want to feel the players, possible. Lou. So, and I'm with you. I'm a big believer in playing at venues that are purpose-built.
There you go.
Because, A, it captures the atmosphere better. You're up close, you see the action.
You're on
you
top
get
of
a greater
them.
Appreciation. Yep. And if you go and stick us on a oval-shaped oval for a rectangle ball game, you don't get it all. And it gives the knockers an easy out.
Absolutely.
Which I don't like.
And we won't get the atmosphere if we're playing at a traditional soccer venue. Am I correct?
I totally agree.
So I want to change, Lou.
Yeah, but there is a cost factor. And here's the one now, and this is the challenge.
Where?
This is the challenge. Building a new stadium, they're not cheap.
Gerard wants to build one.
No, but here's what we've got to do. Hindmarsh, that's not the answer.
Right.
It is the development of something that is going to cater for our 36ers.
Yeah.
Concerts.
Our Uniteds.
Adelaide United.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I know we are a multi-purpose type
venue. We're not big enough to have a 30,000 soccer stadium.
We're not big
enough to have another stadium that is like our entertainment centre, but at a grand new level for basketball, concerts, anything yep. else that comes to town. We've got to find another way to get – where's our other venue? And the key with it all is, and I know High Marsh is almost in the city, you've got to get back in the city.
Yeah.
We've seen what Adelaide has been able to do. Memorial Drive, that area, somehow.
In there.
Next Gen, somehow
there
in there.
Go. Now you're talking.
Got to be able, and it's been proposed a couple of times, you've got to be able to put something there so we can use that footbridge that cost us 20 mil too much, as
it's
you've 40, always said.
Yeah, 42
we can
mil.
Actually get some value out of, so we can all walk out of the city and get dragged along. And then there's no excuse.
I'm with
you,
brother.
I mean? There's no excuse then, because if we had a 25, 30,000 for this, jam-packed. Yeah. Full of us.
The rest of the country
would
hear us.
Yeah, and you get it. You capture what the event is about. And by when you put them on these makeshift arenas, which is
and that's what it
oval
is.
Into rectangle.
That's what it is, Lou.
Doesn't work. Remember the little game kids play? Yeah. Where you got to put the shapes
in?
Yeah,
correct.
Well, that's what it is.
There you go.
And it doesn't
there
go in
go.
No matter how hard you try and push and shove and get it in. It doesn't go in.
But
and the only way you can get in is cheat and pull it
there
over
you go.
The seams.
Well said. Well, that's it. That's just me little beef. But good luck to the boys tonight anyway.
Well said.
On a footy oval.
And if you can, get along down there. Check it out.
Come on, fam.
Our big Socceroo game tonight. Saudi Arabia bringing across their millions.
Yeah.
Jeez, they've spent some cash.
Yeah, and their
like
chartered planes and their
like
jets.
Private jets. Where's ours, speaking of? It's the Rush Hour. Jars and Louis, 104.7. Triple M. Dylan Robinson still to come on the Rush Hour. Right, the Saints are coming to town, and one man who has been in ripping form this year, a big breakout year, playing some of his best footy in all Australian contention, absolutely, is Dylan Robinson of the St Kilda Football Club, and he joins us right now because the Saints are coming to town tomorrow night. Dylan, welcome to the Rush Hour.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me.
Mate, we'll get to the Saints in a moment, but you must be wrapped with your own form and what you are producing week in, week out, averaging 25 touches a game, even snuck down for 4 goals, 4, playing that really architect's role across halfback.
Yeah, I think probably my form's probably just mirrored the way the team's improved as well this year. Having the inclusions of Jake and Brownie down back, I was able to free myself and Gilbo up a bit. So, getting forward's not always nice, but just being part of the back six is really exciting at the moment. And probably we've been going okay, but the last 2 weeks we've probably been pretty disappointed. So we're really looking forward to getting stuck into it after the bye and finishing off the year strong.
Dills, Adelaide Crows have been getting smashed around in terms of their performance against the Geelong Footy Club. What do you expect to see from the Adelaide Crows Friday night here at Adelaide Oval, which is a very, very hard ground to win on?
Yeah, well, obviously we'll be preparing for their best, and we know they play their best footy at Adelaide Oval. We'll be preparing for the fast brand, the way they play. Obviously, we'll try and stop their high scoring because we find when they win, they score a lot. When teams are able to stop them a bit, their scoring dries up a bit. So we'll be looking to do that as best we can.
Dylan, your best footy, club footy, has come with the pressure. The Saints, when they're on, pressure is manic. You've been able to turn the footy over big time. Ball use has been your issue in your couple of your big losses with the Doggies and the Swannies the last couple of weeks. So a bit of work being done on the skills and option selection?
Yeah, a little bit of that. I think probably for the first time since I've been at the club and a lot of the players at the club, we're actually in a position now where we're playing good footy, so teams are actually trying to stop what we're good at, which a lot of us probably haven't had to put up with. So we've seen that as a real positive and just kept looking to play our way. And obviously, teams are putting more time into us, so we've just got to come up with other ways to get through them.
Hey, Dills, will you tag Rory Sloane? Will it be a heavy tag or a light tag on Friday night?
Oh, we'll see what happens, and I'm sure there'll be someone near him. He's obviously a barometer for them, and he's a very tough player. So,
All right.
We can nullify him and get some ball going forward.
All right.
Dylan, obviously, you get a bit of spare time these days as AFL players. Jack Stevens' hairdos. Who's in charge?
Yeah, not on.
What is coming up? He can vary it up. He puts the GT stripes in left, right and centre. Who's in charge of that thing?
I'm not sure anyone's in charge of it. Just sort of, I think it must grow that way. He's a good lad, Jack. He's a lawn boy, so he's a bit different to the rest of us city folks. So, we definitely love his personality and the he's such a good player, so we let him get away with those sort of things.
Hey, Dylan, your senior coach, Alan Richardson's done a terrific job the last 3 years at St Kilda. He's got a bit of history here in Adelaide, obviously with Port Adelaide. How would you describe him as a senior coach?
Oh, he's just a really nice person. That's probably the word to describe him. He's very calm. Obviously, the first few years that he had us weren't too good, so he could have blown his top a few times, but he's a very measured person, very calculated, and he's very well spoken as well, so he's easy to talk to and stuff like that.
Beautiful.
No Nick Riewoldt this week, mate, already been ruled out. The big fella's still playing some very, very good footy. Would you like to see him play on next year?
Oh, yeah, I think anyone would. Having Rui in the team, you'd definitely walk a bit taller with him next year. And he's been training pretty hard over the last couple of weeks, just doing some running. He was running today, looked really strong. So he's going to, if he plays next week, he'll have a month off. So I'm hoping he's back really fresh and we'll be able to play out the rest of the year.
Off-field, Louis and I are very involved with our boys that come on the show. You're tracking well with a lovely wife,
married,
or partner? You got dogs or kids? What do you got, son?
Yeah, we got the three kids. So obviously keeps us very busy. It was Henry, our middle child. It was his third birthday yesterday. So
nice.
Had a little party for him. But yeah, they definitely keep us busy and yeah, it's good fun.
Oh, very nice.
Well done, mate.
Thanks for sharing, mate. Loving what you're doing this year. Form has been fantastic. Friday night, big test for you boys. Must get back on the winner's circle if you're going to play some finals footy. So good luck.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Here it is. Dylan Robinson of the St Kilda Football Club having a great season. And they're coming to town Friday night to take on the Camry Crows. Oh, the lovely boys.
Don't. Don't you dare.
Dills, you're going to carve. You'll carve you guys up across our back.
Don't, Louis. Come on.
Just carve. Because no one will man him.
Don't
up,
you dare call us lovely boys.
It's the Rush Hour, Jars and Louis, 104.7 Triple M.
I'll give you lovely boys.
Thanks, Dills. That was great, champ.
No worries. Thanks.